When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Following On. I'm John Norman and I'm delighted to say that every weekday of England's tour of South Africa, we will bring you behind-the-scenes footage, exclusive player interviews, Cape Town colour, brilliant insight from our top team and match highlights. And what a show we have to start off with today as we bring you an interview with England's Jos Buttler. And can you guess what player he is talking about here?
Yeah, he's probably one of my favourite players in the world at the moment.
We cross to South Africa to speak to our man on the ground, Neil Manthorpe, who can hopefully lift the lid on all the recent goings-on within the South African Cricket Board. And you'll hear from Double Ashes winner and all-round legend, Steve Harmison, a man who has suffered the classic telltale signs of COVID, only to find out he needs his tonsils out. Let's hope he recovers before England get back underway with three T20s, three ODIs, and a couple of behind-closed-door warm-ups that you will only be able to follow here on TalkSport 2 and across on TalkSport. And if it's as exciting as a series at the start of the year, then we're in for a treat.
Here is John Smutson again, and Jason Roy goes the biggest one of all. Yes. Runs away from us, up to the crease now, bowls. Oh, bowled him! He's bowled him! Here comes Tom Curran, last ball of the game, and it's paddle swept, and down towards short fine leg, caught by Adil Rashid, and England have won the game by 2 runs.
Hendricks is it, oh goodness me, Jason Roy has just run down the track and has pinned his ears back and swatted it back over long on for 6.
Victorious in. Oh, that's a huge hit! Massive hit for 6. Woo-hoo! Over deep mid-wicket. Right, Ben Stokes means business. He's in.
Sheet around the wicket. Miller swings it to the left side. 6 more!
Jordan in. Balls to Cock over deep mid-wicket. 6 more! Oh! Morgan goes right outside off stump and swings it over square leg for 6 more. It's up in the block hole. South Africa have fielded it. Wicket, the underarm throw, it's run out. South Africa have won the game.
Well, exciting times. Cricket's back. England haven't played for a couple of months. Talk Sport and Talk Sport 2 will be on the ground in South Africa, and what a spot it is. Newlands and Boland Park, the two venues. Essentially, it's Cape Town, people. That's all you need to know. Cape Town in December is a beautiful place to be, as is Neil Manthorpe's house. We were there at the start of the year eating a huge slab of roast beef. Well, it wasn't roasted. It was on the barbecue. That's how they cook beef in South Africa. Manners, we got the band back together, kind of. Listen, we were just talking last week. We did a whole show on Following On about the green shoots of cricket, the green shoots of hope springing from South African cricket after a turbulent couple of months. And then within 2 days, it had all gone, insert expletive. Just bring us back up to speed, because when we last spoke, the government had got involved. Cricket South Africa seemed to be playing ball. And then I opened my newspaper and it had all gone horribly wrong again.
That's right, John. And it's braai, by the way, not barbecue.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Sorry.
Right. So the sports minister's involvement was to appoint a 9-man, mostly independent interim board to take over from the disgraced and discredited board that was forced to resign en masse a month ago. The Members' Council, which is the highest authority, who actually sits in oversight on the board, it comprises the provincial chairman. They promised the sports minister that they would sanction and appoint the interim board, and then they didn't like the work that the interim board had started to do. They didn't like the filing cabinets they were opening and the accounts they were checking, and so they refused. They withdrew their sanctioning of the interim board. It was just about to tee off in the biggest crisis in South African cricket history, and it is a history riven with crises over the decades. This would have been the biggest one, because the Members' Council were considering the possibility that the England tour would be cancelled by the sports minister, and they were recommended by their lawyers, in-house lawyers, to take the sports minister to court to reclaim the lost revenue of about 70 million rand, just about £4.5 million. It was staggering, the depths of insanity to which the Members' Council had sunk. Anyway, they've been backed into a corner now. The sports minister has said, you know what? You haven't seen me. You haven't seen me flex a muscle just yet. And so they've had no choice. So they have yesterday, reluctantly, with gritted teeth, agreed to the appointment of the interim board. So hopefully we're back on track.
So we're all optimistic, are we?
Well, no, because I'm afraid the Members' Council have had their noses put out of joint. These are men and a few women with massive egos and with a lot to lose personally as well, in terms of perks and privileges. And also, the head of the interim board believes and has said publicly that they have a massive amount to hide because of what's gone on in the last 2 or 3 years of complete and utter maladministration. So when the interim board, as and when the interim board, which is a highly, highly qualified one, with some brilliant people, accountants, lawyers, all the expertise, the judge is the chairman, retired constitutional court judge, when they start unearthing the skeletons from the closet and the bones from the bunker, then we'll see just how the Members' Council react and how comfortable they are to have justice revealed.
Wow. And I thought T20 cricket was exciting. It's nothing compared to cricket administration. Brilliant. Well, look, you brought us up to speed. And now we can talk a little bit of cricket. But first, let's just have a little listen. Promise the listeners an interview with Joss Butler. Here it is, talking with TalkSport 2's very own Scott Taylor.
Hi, Joss. Yeah, I just want to touch on something James mentioned there about playing in these times and the lack of fans. Do you feel there's more responsibility as professional sportsmen to put on a show for fans during this time when they can't attend matches as opposed to pre-lockdown?
Potentially, I think when it's obviously more obvious at the ground when the crowd is there and you're desperate to impress people and put on a good show for the people who are there. So of course we're aware that there's going to be millions more watching at home and on screen. So it's been a tough year for the majority. We're very lucky that we're able to carry on and play professional cricket. So we, it's our duty to play well and put on a good show for the guys watching at home.
And you come into this tournament off the back of playing in the 2020 IPL. Now, how much of an advantage, if any, was it playing against the likes of Kagiso Rabada, Anrik Nokia and Quinton de Kock during that tournament?
Yeah, I think, those guys you mentioned been around for a while and we've played against them a few times in different tournaments or different series. So, the IPL is one of those great things for you get to see guys close up and play with and against them. So, in international cricket, there's not too many surprises nowadays with the video that's available around the world. But it's obviously great when you've had some contests recently, so you freshen your mind about certain things that they will come and attack you with and how you're going to try and counter them.
And you look at the T20 squad compared to the ODI squad name for this series, the likes of Ben Stokes, Sam Curran, Jofra Archer all rested for the 50-over format. Does that show you that the priority for English cricket in the next 12 months is that T20 World Cup?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously with such a congested fixture list, it's always important for the ECB to find time for guys to be able to rest and get enough time away from the game to be in a good headspace. So, with two T20 World Cups around the corner. It seems that the ODIs that just at the moment are the ones that guys look to be resting from.
And just one final one from me, Joss. I want to talk more about T20 cricket in general. You look at the Big Bash that's coming up in Australia and you look at the amount of English players playing in them, and it's the likes of Lewis Gregory, Liam Livingstone. It's not the likes of Joss Butler and Ben Stokes playing. So how pleasing is that, that there's so much depth in T20 cricket for England?
Yeah, it's fantastic for English cricket that lots of our players are in high demand in franchise tournaments around the world. I think it shows we've come a long way in T20 cricket and how our white ball cricket in this country is viewed, that players are in high demand. Like you say, in the IPL, we had a lot of players in that tournament. Looking ahead to the Big Bash, the number of English players going over to play is fantastic. And it will just push us as a country from strength to strength. It's obviously fantastic for the individual to be exposed to those tournaments.
Joss Butler talking with Scott Taylor. Joss Butler will be playing all six matches, unlike the likes of Jofra Archer, Sam Curran, and also Ben Stokes. Manners, you know, there are certain players that are almost more popular outside of the country that they play for. I think AB de Villiers is one of those. I'm not saying that AB de Villiers isn't popular in South Africa. I'm just saying that there are some players that kind of transcend their own team. Do you feel Joss Butler's one of those? Wherever you go in the world, it seems that people want to see him play.
I love it. I absolutely, totally agree with you. And AB de Villiers is a brilliant example because he divides opinion here. And, you know, wherever you go in the world, you're not going to go. All you experience is people saying, "You what?" People doubt him. You what? And you're absolutely right. You know, and also wherever I've been around the world, I've never heard anybody say, "Yeah, Joss Butler, a bit overrated." But you get to England, and I mean, I'm not saying that he divides opinion in the same way that AB de Villiers does.
No, yeah,
does
probably,
he really?
Probably quite not quite as much as AB. No, but he does divide opinion. I think you're right.
That's amazing. I don't know why that is. I mean, I'm an absolute fan of Joss Butler, and I think he's the X factor. And I honestly think he should probably be allowed to bat wherever he wants to in the T20 team. Quinton de Kock is another. I mean, he's a man of few words. He's never been accused of overthinking anything in his life at any
Unlike
level.
Unlike you, Manners.
Well, it doesn't last long. But no, I mean, he's a sublime talent, and it's a real delight to hear what Joss had to say about Quinton de Kock. He had a very, very good IPL, and it's kind of weird that he sort of, you know, he made lots of 30s and 40s, only two or three 50s, but he was very, very consistent, as almost 500 runs would suggest. But he did kind of fly under the radar, didn't he? I mean, it wasn't like he ever made 120 off 60 balls.
You mentioned Joss Butler talking about Quinton de Kock. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's got an excellent cricket brain. I like the way he sort of looks at the game and the way he takes it on. And yeah, he's probably one of my favourite players in the world at the moment. You know, having played against him, he's incredibly difficult to keep quiet with the bat. I enjoy his wicket-keeping style as well. I think he's a fantastic wicket-keeper. So he's a brilliant player, and he'll be a real danger man for South Africa looking ahead to this trip.
He is a real talent. Here's a question for you then. T20 cricket, as things stand, who would you rather have, Quinton de Kock or Joss Butler?
It's
a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It is. Well, I tell you what.
All three formats then. T20, ODI, tests, who do you have? Butler or Quinton de Kock in each format?
Quinton de Kock because of his test record. He's a very, very fine test batsman. He averages 40. And Joss is a little more inconsistent, although I think Joss's average isn't reflective of the importance that he's provided the team in test matches. But you know what? In white ball cricket, I'd have Quinton de Kock opening and keeping, and I'd have I'd ask Joss about at five.
Get out. All right, I'll take that. Listen, we're going to get plenty of Neil Manthorpe over the next 2.5 weeks. But we did hear Scott Taylor asking Josh Butler about coming up against the likes of Kagiso Rabada and Heinrich Nokia, who, of course, we got to know so well at the start of the year. But what about some of the players that TalkSport 2 listeners may not be quite so familiar with that might come to the fore in this T20 and ODI series?
There's an opener called Yanaman Malan, who hits the ball beautifully. Kyle Verena, who is ostensibly Quinton de Kock's understudy as keeper, but bats at 4 or 5. He's a sublime talent. Not sure if he'll get a chance. You won't see Faf du Plessis in the one day, as he's going to play the T20s only. I'd go with those two. Yanaman Malan.
So is Malan, is he related to Peter Malan?
He is. He's the younger brother. Ooh, there are three Malan brothers, actually, all of whom play first-class cricket. But Yanaman is the opposite, polar opposite of Peter, who's happy to make 10 off 90 balls, whereas Yanaman might make 90 off 10.
Yeah, well, we were at Cape Town, weren't we? And Peter made, I think there was 2 boundaries in his 130 ball stay or something. Maybe even went over 200 balls. Anyway, it was a fine innings for 80 odd. Who was that other guy? You sounded like oh, Macarena.
Kyle Verena.
There you go. He's doing the Barmy Army's work for them there.
Yeah, he's a redhead and he's a pocket battleship. He's not much to look at physically, but yeah, really, really good ball striker, good pacer of an innings. And I know that they're keen. Spoke to Graham Smith, the director of cricket, the other day, and he's very keen to expand, broaden the base of the squad. And he actually said, if we can create a squad like England's, he said, you look at them, they brought over 24 players, and it's hard to see a weak link. You know, what they've done brilliantly in the last 3 or 4 years is expand their base of international players, and that's what South Africa are trying to do during this series.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, Manners, you're going to be part and parcel of TalkSport 2's live and exclusive coverage of the South Africa series against England, providing reports throughout on TalkSport. Won't be part of the commentary team, unfortunately, but it's a little bit more difficult to fly than it was when we were last united. But thanks for your time today. You will be back, but very much looking forward to this series.
Yeah, me too. Chat soon.
That's Neil Manthorpe. But there, you're listening to TalkSport 2. This is Following On. Please subscribe to the Following On podcast for daily updates and download the TalkSport app to listen to the live action from South Africa.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Jonjo Smutson again, and Jason Roy goes the biggest one of all. Yes. Roy's built him, he's on a hat-trick. Jordan's got straight through, driven down the ground by de Kock, straight back over the bowler's head, onto the side screen for 6 more. Runs away from us, up to the crease now, bowls. Oh, bowled him! He's bowled him! Here comes Tom Curran, last ball of the game, and it's paddle swept, and down towards short fine leg, caught by Al-Rashid, and England have won the game by 2 runs.
You're listening to Following on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman, and for the next 3 weeks, we'll be bringing you a daily cricket show every weekday throughout England's tour of South Africa. So subscribe to the Following On podcast and download the TalkSport app once the cricket gets back underway. One of the main men, part of the TalkSport 2 cricket commentary team, what a fellow, brilliant commentator and a great tourist as well, is Steve Harmison joins us now. Steve, I tell you what, mate, I'm already trying to work out what games Butch can do, because he's in Pakistan and he's got to do a 14-day quarantine when he gets back from the PSL. And then I get a text from you saying you've got a sore throat and you're off to the doctors. But rejoice, it's not COVID, it's tonsillitis.
Yeah, tonsillitis, which is, it's not, as long as I don't break into song, we'll be fine. But it's, no, I was panicking for a little bit, but I'm, fingers crossed everything should be all right. And I can't wait for the series. I think it's going to be a fascinating series against two sides who would probably, you'd think, to get the latter stages of the T20 World Cup if it had happened. And some exciting talent, especially in the bowling department. Rabada, Nakia, Nagidi, we've seen all three of them bowl, especially Nagidi, come into the back of the IPL and they bowl fantastically well against the likes of, you know, Archer, Wood, Jordan, Stokes. But you know, from the bowling point of view, it's going to be fireworks. And Quentin de Kock against England's, you know, Jason Roy or Johnny Bairstow. I don't think it gets any better than that.
No, absolutely. Well, look, you mentioned the fast bowling. Let's talk a little bit about Jofra Archer. Joss Butler has been speaking about him in the build-up to the first T20.
Yeah, his cricket was going pretty well. So he was bowling fantastically well and smacking about the park. So he had but like you say, he's been someone who's spent, he's probably one who spent the most days in a lockdown situation over the last 6 months or so. For any young man, it's tough, at times you want to especially spend time with your family and get away from the game occasionally. So I think this little break before the South Africa tour will have been great for him. I know he had some family come out and join him in the IPL, which was a big plus as well. And of course, he's just doing the T20s, so he can get a bit more of a break after that, leading into lots of cricket in the new year.
Jofra Archer, of course, missed the series, didn't he, at the start of the year? We picked up that injury when we were on duty in, where was the fourth test match? The Wanderers, he was very upset before the start of the match. Look, we saw the very, very best of Jofra Archer playing for Rajasthan Royals. Despite them finishing bottom of the table, he was given the most valuable player award. That says something, doesn't it? But, what do England have to do to make sure, bearing in mind he's a World Cup winner with England, by the way, but what do they have to do to make sure they get the best out of him as well?
I think the IPL was a good gauge on how Jofra Archer seems to like the white ball game. I'm not saying he doesn't like the red ball game. I'm just saying he seems to be more suited, more at ease and happier, and probably more used to being in that sort of franchise system where, he enjoys playing the four overs. Yeah, he enjoys going out at the back end when he hit 10 sixes. I think he hit 10 sixes. That's 2 sixes less than Virat Kohli did in that IPL tournament. So he was handy with the bat as well. And he's somebody who, he just seems to revel in the franchise stuff, whether there's pressure put on himself, whether there's pressure he feels that he can't get away from when he pulls the three lines on. I'm not actually sure. Joss Butler said there, he's only there for the 2020, so he's not there for too long, whether we're going to see the best out of him, just dipping in, dipping out. And maybe it's the pressure of not having any test matches on a tour will work in his favour, because it just seems whenever there's a red ball section added onto the tour, it seems to affect his either confidence or his demeanour. So we'll see. It's one of them time will tell moments. We'll see by the end of probably March, April time whether Jofra Archer is somebody who just revels in the 2020 or the white ball side of it, or when he goes to India, wherever that series is, when there's any difference of him in confidence after having this great IPL, that he transforms it into every format when he plays for England.
I tell you what, you mentioned Joss Butler then. I asked this question to Neil Manthorpe earlier on in the show, Harmy, because we were talking about Quinton de Kock, both wicketkeeper batsmen. Joss Butler saying that Quinton de Kock is one of his favourite players to watch. And I asked Manners a question. OK, who would you rather have in your side, Quinton de Kock or Joss Butler, in the three formats? Which one would you go for?
It's a difficult one. I would like to say, I would say Joss Butler. I really would. And you know how critical I've been of his Red Bull game. I actually think you can get more out of Joss Butler. I think there's more all-round game in Joss Butler than there is in Quinton de Kock. And I think we've seen glimpses of it in the test matches. The problem I've got with England and with probably Rajasthan with Joss Butler is find a place for him, stick to it, and give him a full run in it. And that's the difference between Joss Butler and Quinton de Kock. Quinton de Kock in white ball cricket goes out first. He's got a clarity of plan. He goes out there and he hits the ball. Bang. There you go. Number one for Mumbai. Very successful side. Number one for South Africa. Very successful side in the shorter format. And then at number five or number six, wherever he bats for South Africa, he seems to have this counteractive game plan. And that is a simple way for Quinton de Kock to look after his game. We've seen Joss Butler. You know, I mentioned it during the IPL review show, is whoever thought Joss Butler was a number five in 2020 cricket wants their head read. And I think he's gone up and down in the order of England. He's gone wicketkeeper, non-wicketkeeper. I just think Joss Butler needs a role in his side to define what Joss Butler can do and leave him there. And I think from a point of view, from England's point of view in 2020 cricket, it should be batting at number four, no lower, and it should be batting at number seven in test match cricket and leave him for a long period of time. And I think you will see the results that Quinton de Kock can get for South Africa and for Mumbai Indians. So you talk about de Kock, yes, he's a fantastic player. I think actually Joss Butler's got a more of an all-round game than Quinton de Kock, and I think that's why I'd probably just punt for him, for Joss.
Let's concentrate on the T20s. Owen Morgan, of course, the only remaining player who played in the 2010 T20 World Cup triumph. The focus is going to be very much on the 2021 and 2022 versions of that tournament. Full strength England side for the first three T20s before a couple of the players come home. You wouldn't bet against Morgan going 1-2, would you? 2019 50 over World Cup and 2021 T20 World Cup. Although with the T22 T20 World Cup being hosted in Australia, would you favour England's fortunes in that tournament rather than one that's going to be taking place in India?
Yeah, I'd back them in Australia over India, but I still think the best team will come out. I think if you look, we've mentioned the Mumbai Indians. If you took the Mumbai Indians and played them in India, they'd win the IPL. You take them to Abu Dhabi, which you've got a little bit more juice in the wickets. You'd back Mumbai to win it. You know, obviously, they won it over there. You listen to some of the experts talking, they think, well, if you put Mumbai Indians in the T20 World Cup, they'd win it wherever they play. So I think the best team will come out. I think England have got arguably one of the best T20 teams going, or white ball teams going. So I don't think it really matters where you play the competition, especially if you look at the likes of, if you go down the England team, Bairstow, Stokes, Morgan, Butler, Moen Ali had a little bit, Archer, Jordan, you'd think, you know, they've all performed quite well in IPLs, especially in the subcontinent, obviously in India or in Abu Dhabi, so, or in the UAE. So I think England will fancy themselves where, I think it's just an element of luck. I think an element of luck going their way, the rubber, the green, going their way, give them the best shot at winning the T20 World Cup. I don't think there's a team in the world in international cricket as good as the difference between Mumbai Indians, because if we go off the gauge of the IPL, as good as the Mumbai Indians to the rest of the other seven teams in that, there's a class above from them to Delhi to everybody else. I actually think there's probably three or four teams, you know, Australia, South Africa, India, England, who are very, very similar in ability when it comes to it. And I think it's whoever handles a big occasion, whether it's played behind closed doors or played in front of a crowd, and gets that element of luck to whether they can get over the line in the 2020 knockout stages. England have got a great chance. When you look at the side they've got now, you know, Roy, Bairstow, Milan, Stokes, Morgan, Butler, that's as good a top six as you'll find in world cricket, especially at the shortest format of the game. And if you've got Archer, Jordan, Wood, I tell you what, that's not a bad backer when it comes to the bowling department as well from seam bowlers. I think England have got a very, very good all-round side.
Okay, then, Joss Butler was asked the question, what are England trying to get out of this series? He answered, well, they're trying to win the series. But what are they really? It's about players 10 and 11, isn't it? It's about players like Tom Curran, Rhys Topley, Chris Jordan. It's those kind of players, isn't it, coming to the fore and just bolstering what is, as you say, an already very strong-looking first 11.
I think it's just getting a game plan of who fits in what role and where it goes. I'm intrigued to see where Butler fits in this and Stokes fit in. You've got Roy and Bairstow going to go in first. Milan's got the best T20 average in the last, I don't know, however many games. But again, you look at Milan and you think, well, is Milan going to feature? And that sounds ridiculous because of the way David Milan's played over the last 2 years in the white ball format, in 2020 format. But when you're in the subcontinent, especially when you're going to play this World Cup in India or in the UAE, if it has to be in the UAE, you're thinking, well, Stokes, in theory, has got to go in three and Butler's got to go in four. If that's the case, then does Milan's role change? Does Milan's place come up in jeopardy? Because then Morgan then would have to come in five. So you're looking at somebody to come in six. Now, is David Milan that player? So I think they've got to find a clarity of role, like I mentioned before with de Kock and Butler. Who's going to bat where, at what period, and what time? Is Milan going to be as simple as, if we lose a wicket early in the first two or three overs, you go in and steady the ship, we bat round you, like what England Joe Root did a couple of years ago to get England to the final when we lost against the West Indies? Or are England just going to go all guns blazing the way Morgan wants to play, and we're just going to keep swinging? We've got the batsmen to keep swinging. Roy, Fairstow, Stokes, Butler, Morgan, and then Milan, then Ali, then Archer, then Jordan. You know, the world's your oyster. Off you go. Just keep swinging, and we'll bat 20 overs and keep swinging, and hopefully we'll get 200. So I think it's more of a game plan than finding players. There's probably only one spot, I would say, that's up for grabs, and that's the one at number 11, for the bowling spot. Is Wood a shoe-in, or you're looking at Tom Curran, Sam Curran, or Rhys Topley to fit in that number 11 spot to bowl in with the brand new white ball to go with the likes of Jordan and Archer, who I think are probably shoo-ins to play in England's best 2020 team. So I think it's more game plan than actually players that are going to fit in the side to then take it to the next level of, right, with the two 2020 World Cups over the course of the next 18 months. This is more or less what we've got as a team. This is how we're going to set up. This is how we're going to hit the first six overs. This is then what we're going to do if things go well or if things don't go so well. And we look to have this many people in the bank for the last three to five overs to get us a score of around 200, which will be competitive in every game we play.
Brilliant stuff, Harmy. I love the start of a tournament, whether it's a test, T20 or ODI. So many questions, and I can't wait to find out the answers. Steve Harmison will be part of our commentary lineup. Three T20s, three ODIs between South Africa and England, starting November 27th. But the following on podcast and show will be broadcast every single day. Weekdays on TS2 and every day. If you are a subscriber, if not, please do so. Subscribe to the following on podcasts on Spotify, Acast or Apple Podcasts for daily updates. And don't forget, if you're out on the move, download the TalkSport app and you can listen to the live action wherever you are. That's pretty much it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, though. You've been listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.